स्तुतिवाचालं गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ऐ सल्यूट् कृष्ण दि एम्बोडिमेण्ट् आफ् सुप्रीम् ब्लिस् थ्रू हूस् ग्रेस् द लेम् स्केल् मौण्टेन् एण्ड् द डाम् बिकम् इलोक्वेण्ट् मे कृष्ण वि दि गैड् आफ् अवर् लैफ़्। भगवद्गीता 7th chapter, verse 25. In this 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna is trying to unveil the mystery of Godhead. He said, very few people in this world try to realize God. Millions, there are millions of people. Among those millions, only few people try. And among those few, only one or two succeed. Why? Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya durattaya. Krishna says, because my maya is inscrutable. I covered this whole universe, whole creation, all beings with my cosmic maya, veil of ignorance. So they do not see me. Mamevaji prapadyante, mayamitam tarantite. But those who take refuge in me, I help them to understand me. I help them to cross this turbulent ocean of maya. Then he said, नाहं प्रकाश सर्वस्य युगमाया समावृताः मूलोऽयं नाभिजानाति लोकोऽयं अजम् अव्ययम्। Veiled by my maya, born of the gunas, I am not revealed to all. This deluded world knows me not as the unborn eternal. नाहं प्रकाश, I am not revealed to those people who are engulfed by my Yogamaya. This word Yogamaya is an interesting phenomenon. Brahmachhadini Maya, how would that all pervasive Brahman covered himself with his own maya? One day Sri Ramakrishna was talking with his devotees. All of a sudden he took a towel and covered his face and said, can you see my face? No, sir, we can't see your face. But that does not mean I do not exist. My face is there because of this covering. You cannot see me. He then told a parable. You see, when Rama was banished for 14 years, his wife Sita and younger brother Rama followed him. Rama went first, then Sita was in the middle, and Lakshmana, the younger brother, was behind. Rama was always in front of Sita. Lakshmana, the younger brother, never saw Rama because Sita was the barrier, Mahamaya. Sri Ramakrishna said, God is always here, but we do not see because of this Maya. Brahmachhadini Maya. Shankara explained Yoga Maya. Yoga means union of the gunas. You see, when we want to see God, we use our eyes, not these gross eyes, divine eyes. The third eye opens. We see God. Our vision is like this. But there is a cosmic veil is also in front of God. He does not want that everybody should see him. those who have ego, they cannot see God because ego is the barrier. Ego is just like the thick door between the infinite and the finite. If there is a barrier, big wall or a thick door in front of your house, you cannot see what is inside. Ego Maya. God plays with his Maya. There is a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam, the devotional scripture of the Hindus. Bhagavan upita ratrehi shardut fulla mallika viksharantu manaschakri yogamaya mupashritaha. Krishna promised to the gopis, the shepherd girls of Vrindavan, that I shall meet you on the full moon night of autumn on the bank of the river Yamuna. You girls come that evening. It was that full moon night. Krishna played his flute. The gopis are cooking. Some are cooking, some are serving their husband, some are taking care of their children, some are taking care of their family members, some are resting. The moment they heard the noise, sound of the flute, they could not stay at home. They ran toward the bank of the river Yamuna to meet Krishna. Now there is one interpretation. Krishna actually attracted their subtle bodies, their gross bodies with their husbands, with their family members, but their subtle bodies came to Krishna. And Krishna could make any number of human beings, and he played with the gopis. It is called Yogamaya. Let me explain this phenomenon in different way. You have seen magicians. Magicians show tricks on the stage, and the audience, you know, get dumbfounded. They are thrilled to see those tricks. But the assistants of the magician know all the tricks. They are never amazed to see any tricks of the magician because they know what he is doing. Similarly, magician, according to the Shetashvatara Upanishad, Jalavanisha, God is just like a great magician, the great juggler. Through jugglery, through magic, he is playing with these innumerable beings in this universe. He is one, he has become many, and he is playing. Those who are close devotees, the jnanis, they know the mystery of God. They cannot be befooled. They will never be amazed to see the play of God. They know everything is possible. One thing Swami Vivekananda learned from the very beginning of his life, don't be amazed seeing the world and its ways. Everything is possible in this world. Good, bad, extraordinary good, extraordinary bad, anything is possible in this world. Sri Ramakrishna explained this phenomenon of Yogamaya. He gave an example of snake. The snake bites a man and kills that man with the poison which are in the fangs of the snake. But when that snake eats his own food, he does not disturb the poison. That poison remains intact into the fangs of the snake. What does it mean? It means God has complete control over his own Maya. We don't. We are carried by Maya. We are hypnotized by Maya. We are just like puppets in the puppet show. The man behind the screen with fingers is making the puppets dancing. Puppets dance, but actually they are tricks. They are played by the magician. Similarly, all human beings are dancing, singing, playing music, giving class, listening to the class. All these things are mere show. Balaswami, what do you mean, my mere show? There is a mantra in Kaushitaki Upanishad, whom God wants to release, wants to give liberation. He will give good desires, good environment, good people around those people. And those who are to be trapped by Maya, God sends them to those places where they will be trapped. Balaswami, does he do it purposely? He doesn't do anything purposely. Do you know what does he do? According to karma, according to tendency, he just, you know, manage the whole scene, whole stage. Suppose your role is to play in the on the stage a villain. So you play as a villain. Here is a person who is acting as a prince. He is acting as a prince, princess. So each person is playing in this world. This world is a stage. We are all playing. We are all playmates of God. If we know how to be the playmates of God, we'll never be befooled by Maya. Naham prakasha sarvaisya jogumaya samabritaha. Mudho ayam nabhi janati mudho. A dull-headed person does not understand my real nature, which is ajam, birthless, abhayam, deathless. I have no birth, no death, but I have assumed a human form just to play. By subduing my own maya, I took a human form, and just I want to play. Balaswami, why does he take a human form? Well, that is the conception of avatar. He comes to demonstrate religion. People do not know what is true religion. They forget. People do not perform their duties properly. Religion declines. People become materialist. So God comes to make them spiritual. If you are materialist, you will be miserable. So he wants to make them happy, to bring spirituality. He wants to carry spirituality to human beings so that they may be happy. For that reason, he takes human form. When materialism prevails, God incarnates. Because materialism brings selfishness. Materialism brings unhappiness, tension, fear, sorrow. He comes just to make people happy. It bothers God when he sees that his children are unhappy, miserable. It is very difficult to recognize the divine incarnation. One day, M, the recorder of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, was seated in Sri Ramakrishna's room, and Sri Ramakrishna was sleeping. And sitting near the bed, he was thinking, is he God? He eats, he sleeps, he behaves like human beings. How is it possible for a human being to become God? Is it possible for God to become a human being? This thought came to M's mind. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna got up. Master, ki bhavcho? What are you thinking? Within me, Maya, the Divine Mother is playing through me. Saying so, he merged into Samadhi. Just to give him a conviction that don't doubt me. Divine Mother is playing, sitting in my heart. Saying so, he merged into Samadhi. Another time, Sri Ramakrishna's cousin was very learned. He used to doubt Sri Ramakrishna. He was very learned, but Sri Ramakrishna had no education, you see. So one day, seeing Sri Ramakrishna's ecstasy and Samadhi, his cousin said to him, "Brother, I see God possessed your body and mind. There is some special power is working behind you. Sri Ramakrishna said, remember it. Sometimes you scold me that whatever I say, you said you are crazy, you get away. But remember this thing. Then Haludhari, you see, he was very proud. He used to use his snuff. Taking snuff, he used to explain the scripture. And Sri Ramakrishna said, brother, the thing which you said, I have experienced. You keep quiet, you are stupid, you have no education, you keep quiet. I have experienced that. You stop. Brother, you said the other time that you have understood me, now you are again saying all these things. No, 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 you go. You don't understand the scripture, you have no education. Then one day Sri Ramakrishna was seated on a banyan tree in Dakshineshwar and he was behaving like a child. That day Haludhari understood, he was convinced that Sri Ramakrishna is possessed by a ghost. What I mean to say, it is very difficult to understand the divine incarnation. When Christ came to visit his own folk in the village, in Nazareth, in Bethlehem, people said, Is he that carpenter's son? Just see. Is he that carpenter's son? It is very difficult to understand the divine incarnation. Those who are simple, guileless, and devotional by nature, they understand God. Next verse. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu veda nakashyana. O Arjuna, know the beings that are of the past, that are of the present, and that are to come, but me no one knows. God is Sarvajna Sarvabhid. He knows collectively, he knows individually. He knows every human being. How? He is seated as an antarjami, the indwelling self. As an indwelling self, he knows what you are doing. If you do something wrong, he knows, you cannot hide. If you know something good, he knows what you are doing. You cannot hide anything from God. There is a beautiful Sufi story. Once a Sufi teacher said to his students, I am giving you a pigeon and you cut the pigeon so that nobody could see and bring the pigeon to me. So the disciples went in different directions and everybody got a secluded place where nobody could see. So he cut the head, you know, and brought the head and the body of the pigeon to the teacher. So the teacher got a lot of pigeons and their heads. Then one disciple did not turn out. Till evening, he did not come. So at night he came back and said to the teacher, I could not cut the pigeon. Why? I could not get any place, secluded place. What do you mean? Several times I tried to cut, but I saw another person was present. I saw God was watching. So I could not cut it. For that reason, I love you. You are an experienced, illumined soul. These people, those who cut the pigeon, they have no knowledge about God. Well, I cut the pigeon in such a place so that nobody could see, but I saw God was watching, so I could not cut it. Anyhow, Krishna says, I know the past, I know the present, I know the future. What does it mean? It means God is all-knowing. What is past, present, future? Do you know? Present is just little. Our past is vast. Future is vast. And the meeting of the past and the present is past and future is called present. Take for example, Rama. I said Rama. The moment I say Rama, the sound goes past. Do you know how this Mimamsakas discovered the Shabda Brahmavada, how sound makes meaning, not? For example, Buffalo. Ba-fe-lo. The moment I say ba, that sound is gone. It has gone to the past. Fe, it is gone. Lo, o. The moment o comes, only meaning comes, flashes in the mind. Buffalo, an animal. But the sound is gone. Ba is gone, fe is gone, lo, o. The moment o comes, ba, you do not know what does it mean. Fe, you do not know what does it mean. When lo, o comes, at that time, clicks your mind. Immediately you know the meaning. So these things go to the past. So present actually is very little. Very little. The meeting point of the past and future is called present. We say, well, we live in present, we live in present. What do you mean, live in present? But you see, a human mind has a power to observe this meeting point. Somebody sees only this much. Somebody sees this much. Somebody sees this much. Somebody sees this much. Do you know how does it work? A power of absorption differs from person to person. You know, there are, you can ask some people, do you know what happened this morning? What did you eat in the breakfast? Some people even don't remember what did they eat at the breakfast. Some people, could you write, do you know what, you know, while writing diary, if you have a habit, perhaps 3 days you did not write any diary, you try to remember what happened 3 days ago. It was hard for some people to remember. Some people can. They know everything. What are the, in every hour, 3 days ago, what are the things happened, they can know and write diary accordingly. It is a power of concentration. Power of absorption. So the yogi has a power to know the past, present and future. One day Swami Vivekananda said, I see what will happen next 500 years. Somebody asked Swami Vivekananda, do you know your past life? Yes, I know. Could you tell us? No. Sri Ramakrishna forbade me to tell that thing. He knew his past, he knew his present, he knew his future. He is a yogi. And God is the creator of the yogis. He can see what is coming in advance. And he knows everything what happened in the past. Even many lives. This theme has been discussed elaborately in yoga scripture. How yogi gets this knowledge. Do you know how do they get knowledge? They unite their mind with cosmic mind. And in the cosmic mind, everything is reflected. What will happen in future, that is there. Krishna showed Arjuna in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He was afraid to fight. Do you know what is the outcome of a war? Look. Immediately Arjuna saw Bhishma, Drona, all these great heroes are dead. The war has not yet begun. But Arjuna saw that all people are dead or killed in the battlefield. Krishna showed the future, the outcome of that Mahabharata war. People do not know me, who am I? I am that Godhead. I know the past, present and future. You see, when you realize your own self, the Atman, you will be able to know everything, what will happen in your past, what has happened in your past, and what will happen in your future. Because at that time you have conquered time, you are beyond the space, time and causation. So you know, a time and space inside Maya. One day Sri Ramakrishna said to Swami Vivekananda, in front of others, you see, Keshav is world famous with one or two powers. I see, Naren, Vivekananda has 18 such powers. Vivekananda protested, "Sir, are you crazy? Where is world famous Keshav Sen, the great orator? Even Queen Victoria praised his oratory. And you are comparing myself, I am a school boy, I have not yet finished my college, and you are praising about me in front of others. They will think that you are a crazy person." Sri Ramakrishna said, "What shall I do? The mother is showing me all these things. I can't help." And that Vivekananda became world famous. Next verse. Icha vesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargi yanti parantapa. All beings from their very birth, O Bharata, are deluded by the spell of the pairs of opposites arising from desire and aversion. Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena dvandva. It is a beautiful Vedantic term. Dvanda. Dvanda means pairs of opposite. Whatever you see in this world are nothing but pairs of opposite. Good, bad. Happiness, misery. Profit, loss. Whatever you see, there must be something opposite. That is called dvanda. Take this way. Here is a pendulum. It must swing. The motion of the pendulum depends upon its swinging. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. We are trying to put the pendulum to the, when it goes to the good side, we think that it should be there. Don't go to the bad side. But it will never happen. You will be pushed back. Because that is the world. Absolute good, absolute bad, you won't find in this world. It is impossible. No man is absolutely good or absolutely bad. It is a mixture. In yoga scripture, we find the yogis divided karma into three groups. Shukla, white karma, which will take you to heaven, means you will get divine bodies, celestial bodies. Krishna karma, black action, bad action, will take you to subhuman plane. And mixed action, good and bad, will keep you in human plane. A human body is possible only through mixed karma. Some actions are good, some actions are bad. The more you will try to do good action, you will go toward that divine realm. Dvaita. When you have the knowledge of non-duality, you will merge into samadhi. Then there will be no more play for you. But God wants that His children should play. The more we become spiritual, the more likes and dislikes go away from our mind. We know how to love everybody. Love, feeling for others, covers the human mind. If you see two, according to Vedanta, is ignorance. If you see two moons, that means there is something wrong in your eyes. The moon is always one. But due to glaucoma or some kind of, you know, eye problem, you may see two moons. But if you cure your disease, you will see again one moon. Vedanta says, Ishavaisam idam sarvam, whatever you see is nothing but God. But you see man, woman, murderer, thief, good, bad. Because you are in the domain of Maya, you are seeing two variety. There is unity in diversity, and that unity can be experienced in samadhi. When we transcend the pairs of opposites, we see that one. So Krishna says, Arjuna, you see, if you want to see me, you will have to transcend these pairs of opposites. Eknath made a comment on it. Dvanda, the pairs of opposites, happiness and misery, good and bad, pleasure and pain, and all the rest, are the very texture of Maya. Self-will thrives on these dualities, especially likes and dislikes. They are the ego's way of self-expression. In every country and every community, no matter whether rich or poor, there is a rare type of person who, from birth, has very little self-will, who can forbear and forgive very easily. People like this are like free stone peaches. You have only to open them up and the seed of self-will falls out easily. The vast majority of us, however, are clean peach types. With clean peaches, the seed seems glued to the rest of the peach. Not only does it not fall out easily, you have to put it in a lot of effort, prying all around it with a sharp knife in order to pull the seed out and throw it away. The knife the Lord gives each of us to perform this operation of ego extraction is double-edged. It has patience on one side and suffering on the other. Unfortunately, we have no choice but to see this knife as long as we cling to our likes and dislikes. But Sri Ramakrishna would say, we don't have to go on clinging forever. No one is making us cling but ourselves, and it is up to us to let go. Dualistic knowledge comes from ignorance, says Vedanta again and again. Next verse. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam ti dandamho nirmukta bhajante mam dhidhabrataha. But the men of virtuous deeds whose sin is ended are free from delusion of the pairs and worship me with firm resolve. Jitu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Those who have knowledge about their bad karma, that what I have done, and the result of that karma gave me so much trouble, pain, suffering. So gradually they are disgusted with their bad karma and they give up. Their minds move toward God. Gradually, they transcend the pairs of opposites and they worship God with a steadfast devotion. People rob, steal, and go to jail. They suffer there. That suffering is supposed to take away their inclination of stealing and robbing. For that reason, the punishment has been arranged in the civilized society. Just to give him that impression, don't do it. It is not good. There is tremendous suffering in jail. You will be bound, you will be chained, you will be whipped, you will be beaten. But still, human tendency is very difficult to control. You see, there are three types of people in this world. Some learn through hearing, they are good people. Some learn through seeing, they are second class. And some learn through suffering, they are third class. So seeing others' pain, suffering, seeing their karma, we should take precaution. No, I shall not do it. It will give me immense suffering, pain. I shall stick to my ideal. Krishna says, bhajante mam dhidhabrataha. The people who have basic spiritual disciplines worship me with a steadfast devotion. They are virtuous people. Their bad karma has already been wiped out.
Jara marana mokshaya mamashritta yatanti ye ti brahma tadviduh
कृष्णम अध्यात्मम कर्म चाकिलम. Those who take refuge in me to gain release, freedom from old age and death, they will come to know Brahman. They will come to know all about the individual soul and all about action as well. Next verse. Sadhi bhutadhi daivam mam sadhi yajnam chaje viduh prayano kale upi chamam te vidur yukta chitasaha. Those who know me as the one that underlies all the elements, as the one that underlies all the gods, and as the one that sustains all the sacrifices, will, with a steadfast mind, know me even in the hour of death. These last two verses are the introduction of the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter, Krishna will tell us more about the imperishable Brahman. What is Brahman? What is the individual soul? What is action? What is this cosmos? How does it work? How does a soul reincarnate? What happens after death? All these things Krishna is going to explain in the next chapter, that is chapter 8. Here he is just giving some ideas to Arjuna's mind. Look, there are some people want to get rid of this cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. Jara marana mokshaya, jara, old age, disease, suffering, marana, death, mokshaya, they want to get rid of it. They want to conquer death. What do? They take refuge in me. Because if you reach me, you will be immortal. If you reach God, if you realize God, you will be immortal. There will be no more death for you. Swami, my body will die. I may be Ramakrishna was in incarnation. He died. Body. Body is not you. Name and form. Evolve and dissolve. They come and go. But the Atman, the Self, becomes illumined. Becomes immortal. You see, dress does not become holy. This ochre cloth, you may think that is a sign of holiness. It is not the sign of, it is a symbol of renunciation, no doubt. But putting this thing, some people can murder people too. And putting an ordinary dress, some people can save others' life also. Dress does not become holy. This body does not become holy. Holiness, unholiness, purity, impurity, desire and desirelessness, everything are in the mind. We mind, the subtle body, is the most important aspect in human life. Mama Shitta Yatantiji, holding me, taking refuge in me, those who worship me, Te Brahma Tad Vidu, Te Viduhu, they know Tad Brahma. That supreme reality. Adhyatmam, they know this individual self. Akhilam karma, all action. How does it work? This cycle of karma, you know. How does it work? They know. Shadi bhuta shadi doivam mam shadi jayam chaji viduhu prayano kaliopi. Even at the time of death, if they know it, they will never be subject to reincarnation. They will be illumined. They will be one with God. What happened, Swami? If a person, suppose, has a car accident and unconscious and died on the street, what will happen? But Swami, he is a devotee of Vedanta. He had a car accident, he died, he was unconscious, died. What will happen? Perhaps he did not get any chance to think of the Lord at the time of death because it is accidental, like that. What will happen? The commentator said, if a child falls from the, slips or, incurs an accident, just mother and the child is unconscious, perhaps about to die, does mother throw away the child? That mother grabs that unconscious child and runs to the hospital. Similarly, God comes for that devotee. And he takes care of that devotee. It doesn't matter where you are and what you do. Because when you are in good shape, you know, in your waking state, you try to worship God, you try to love God according to your sincerity and capacity. Will he throw away when you are in trouble, when you are in difficulty? I was reading a beautiful story. Once a devotee had a vision of God, and God promised to him that I shall be with you all through your life. So he was passing through the desert and he had a very rough time. And all through he saw that his footprints are there and God's footprints are also are there. So he knew God was with him. Then he walked when he had a very hard time. He saw there is no other footprints, only two footprints are there. So he was complaining to God, "Good, you promised to me that you will be with me all through my life, but I did not see your footprints, only I saw my footprints." Then God said to him, "You see, when you had a hard time, I carried you, so you did not see the other pair of footprints. I carried you, only those two footprints you saw. That is my footprints. I carried you on my back." So those who are really devotees of God, he makes everything favorable for the devotee. The commentator says, all through your life, you are involved with your family, husband or wife or children or other friends. You took care of them. Your mind was connected with their welfare. At the time of death, what thought will come to your mind? If the family members will come to your mind. But if you practice spiritual life, meditation, if you try to love God, at the time of death, only that God thought will come to you out of practice. So in India, when a person dies, do you know what do? They carry a picture of God and put in front of the dying person. See, can you see? Or they will repeat mantra, they will sing devotional song, so that this departing soul, the dying soul, may imbibe some kind of spiritual inclination. You see, at the time of death, whatever you think, that will determine your next life. It is the Krishna will explain this phenomenon in this 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I had a nice experience in this country. It was in 1977. I went to see a devotee who had lung cancer in Presbyterian Hospital in Los Angeles. And he was at deathbed. They put him in a separate room where there's all these tubes and, you know, many tubes are connected with his body. Even they are feeding him through here. His body swelled. I entered that room, his nurse said, "You can talk to him, he will listen, but he will not be able to talk." So I was asking him, that, "Do you remember Sri Ramakrishna?" His memory was fine. He put his hand on his mouth and said, "I cannot talk." And I said, "Do you remember Sri Ramakrishna?" He was nodding his head. Then I said, "Do you remember mother?" He again nodded his head. Then I said, "Do you remember Swami Vivekananda?" He was a great devotee of Swamiji. He nodded his head. I was so amazed. that this person is going to die within short time. But his memory, his mind is on God. It amazed me. You see, most of the people, we get pain and this and that. Here is a person whose mind was on God. I have seen many people dying. I was present. And many people died in front of me. But this person really amazed me. Prayano kaleupi chomam te. Even at the time of death, if he remembers me, he reaches me. I take care of him. If you have any questions, please ask. Punya karmanam means virtuous deeds. Jisham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. Punya karmanam means punya shila, the virtuous people. You see, karma, this doctrine of karma, is mysterious. Please show me in what sense it is mysterious. Krishna mentioned in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Gahuna Karmana Gotihi, this path of action is inscrutable. Sometimes good action hurts people. Sometimes bad action saves people. Sometimes doing bad action, a man can go to heaven. Well, what do you mean, Swami? In the Mahabharata, we find the Dharma Vyadha, the butcher, used to kill the animals and sell the meat as his own duty. But he had so much love and devotion for his parents. Through that bad karma, he acquired the yogic knowledge and was an illumined soul. It is this path of action is very mysterious. Do you know how we explain this phenomenon? The action which makes you strong, that is good. You see, human beings have a precious faculty, that is conscience, buddhi. If you do anything wrong, immediately you will find somebody pricked in your conscience. Shh. I am evading tax. Shh. I am cheating government. Shh. I am hurting people. Though I am doing, but my conscience is biting me every moment if I do anything wrong. And if I do anything good, that also my conscience knows that yes, it is my unselfish action. You see, a punya karma, the person, your character is good. Why? Because you do good action. Your character is bad. Why? You do bad action. So human character depends upon the sum total of our good actions and bad actions. Every action keeps an impression in the mind. And the sum total of those impressions is called character. You are good. You are happy. Why? Because you did many good actions in your life. You are miserable. Why? Because you did many bad actions in your life. So this doctrine of karma is an well-known fact. It is working all the time, day and night. In your dream state, in your waking state, this doctrine of karma is working. It is very important to understand what is good and what is bad. And this understanding comes through meditation, through discrimination. The more you will meditate, the more you will get a clear picture of your life. Nehru once made a remark about Gandhi. The place he sits, that place becomes a temple. And where he moves, that place becomes holy. Meaning that person He's not carrying any kind of vengeance, ill feeling for anybody. His life is established in nonviolence and truth. So wherever he moves, that place becomes holy. He does not harbor one ill feeling for anyone. When the English people are, you know, were persecuting the Indian people, he said, "We have no enmity with the English people. It is the government who is trying to subdue us." When an English civilian was killed in a riot, Gandhi started fasting. Quite the, you know, mob killed that innocent English civilian. So many Indians were killed, so they wanted to take revenge. Gandhi started anashan, fasting. He had no ill feeling for anybody. When a person does this type of good karma, he, Swami Premananda used to say, he enjoys festivity all the time. Some festivals are going on inside, and he floats in bliss. He gets so much joy inside, and he shares. It punya karma nam, punya karma, virtuous action, virtuous deeds, purifies the mind, and their pure mind takes the impression of God. That is the way it goes. Om asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittorma amritam gamaya, avir-avirma yedhi, rudrayate dakshinam mukam, dinamam pahi nityam, om shanti shanti shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from death to immortality, light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace.